I want to thank you all for coming out and the amazing speakers, who I'm also very humbled to be here with today. And I think they embody the fact that we are building a movement and that there is a growing opposition in this country. We're 3 years now into the occupation of Iraq. 3 years. And I think a few things have become painfully clear as we look back over this occupation. And the first is that, as Amy pointed out, and as I start the book, Iraq, the Logical Withdrawal, on every issue that you care to look at in relationship to this war, the anti-war movement was right, and the press, the politicians, and the pundits were wrong. We got it right, and they got it absolutely wrong. But you wouldn't know that. If you hear now recognition that, yes, there's no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, there's no Al-Qaeda, U.S. troops weren't greeted as liberators, they're being greeted as occupiers, that's presented as a complete mystery. Who could have known? Who could have predicted? Who could have thought? And it follows from exactly the silence that Amy talked about in the corporate media and the mainstream media, which systematically excluded coverage of the anti-war movement in the lead-up to the invasion of Iraq. Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting did a study of experts, so-called experts, who were brought on to talk about the war and the buildup and the weeks leading up to the invasion of Iraq in March of 2003. And of roughly 400 people who were on the major networks and on PBS, only three of those so-called experts were from a position that was an anti-war position. And yet we know on February 15th, 2003, and in demonstrations around the world on that day and other days leading up to the war, there were many people presenting a different argument, saying that there was no evidence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, that there was no evidence that Iraq had ties to Al-Qaeda, that there was every reason to suspect that the occupation would be resisted by people who would have every right to resist another invasion and occupation of their country. And as we now know, the price of those lies, the price of those mistakes, continues to grow. More than 2,300 US soldiers needlessly dead. And for every one of those deaths, at least 10 injured. And for every one of those injured, and many of those people severely injured, because today, through a kind of macabre fact of advances in medical science, some people are surviving war injuries today that would have killed them in earlier conflicts, but surviving them with their lives utterly shattered. We also know that the psychological scars of this war are growing, and that the consequences of post-traumatic stress disorder, the stress, the violence that people have experienced in Iraq, has led to an increased rate of suicide among Iraqi veterans. And we don't hear about this in the media, but the cost for Iraqis has grown even higher. The Lancet, which is a very respected medical journal, working with a team of epidemiologists, did a courageous study in Iraq. They went, they surveyed, they looked at the population, they interviewed people about mortality, they used the standard methods of epidemiological research to look at the situation in Iraq in the wake of the invasion, and they found, using conservative estimates, 98,000 excess deaths had taken place since the invasion. That was as of a year ago, and that figure excluded, they very consciously excluded Fallujah, the site of the worst U.S. attacks on civilian population of Iraq, because they didn't want to skew the survey. So they excluded those numbers, and they excluded deaths that could be attributed directly to the two assaults on Fallujah. And it's not just deaths, it's torture. And it's not just Abu Ghraib, it's all of the other detention facilities. And there are now 14,000 people, the number's been increasing, there are 14,000 people in Iraq who have been detained, many of them for more than 2 years without any due process, any trial, any procedure, any evidence being presented against them, and any hope of being released other than at the whim of the U.S. military, which is holding them. And it's not just the tortured, it's not just the detained, it's not just those who've been killed. It's the people whose lives every day are subject to harassment, to humiliation, to the racism and abuse which is a byproduct of any intervention.